to go. Lewis has been awesome. Let's it go.
Inbounds Turner, left side of the backcourt. Turner crossed the timeline, throws it from high on the right.
He hit it
just inside of half court.
Lane's on the other wing. Bang!
Oh! 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 Sent it in, Jerome!
Ha ha! College basketball! This is March Madness!
All right, folks, here we go with another edition of Mad About Hoops, your college basketball podcast. I am your college hoops loving friend, Timmy Hall. He is Evil Bald Colin. Another week, Auburn is still the top team in the country. They've extended their winning streak as we record here on a nice little Thursday. How you doing, my man?
I don't know how we're not all deaf in this office with how loud these microphone boxes are. I plugged this in right when you started off the intro there, and I thought my eardrums were done. There are a lot of people in here that like to crank up the volume very loud, but no, I'm glad I can still hear, and I'm glad I can still watch some basketball. It's been a great week. Not so much for Reimer's Tar Heels, but I think for most of us out there, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, Jacob Reimer, he's not going to be the happiest guy as they lost to Wake Forest. I have seen some basketball at Wake Forest. It's a nice little jaunt from the Raleigh-Durham area to go out to Winston-Salem. But they got a nice little environment. They got a nice little thing there. Did you know the Demon Deacon?
Must be nice.
MBN, right? The Demon Deacon will ride a Harley out onto the hardwood. If anyone's ever seen like the pregame situation at Wake Forest, it's kind of neat. And that guy, and I could talk about this a little bit later in the podcast, something that I learned this week about one of Ohio State basketball's assistant coaches. That Demon Deacon mascot is demonic.
With Purdue Pete.
Hold on a second. I felt really dumb just saying that a Demon Deacon is demonic. Well, what the hell else is he going to be? He's a demon. Of course he's demonic. But it's up there with Purdue Pete. It's up there with the Providence Friar.
The Friar.
I feel like they've come here. The old school
and the new school.
Both of them, right? But haven't the Providence Friars come here on more than one occasion to March Madness? First and second rounds?
You might be right.
I feel like they've had two stints here now.
I can't recall, but yeah, no, anytime you see that creature walking around, it'll give you the chills.
Oh, my God. What have you been paying attention to mostly this week?
Last weekend, I enjoyed the Kentucky-Bama game. It was a great game. Of course, Bama's going to score 100 points if they can. Kentucky's defense was pretty lacking, but they're still a very solid team. I was low on Kentucky heading into the year. I didn't think their roster build was as strong as many thought it to be. Ohio State destroyed them and played really well in that game and deserved the win and how they got it. And I've kind of slowly backtracked on the Kentucky take. I'm not fully in there on like a deep run March Madness team, but I think they are probably worthy of a top 15 ranking.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Kentucky is a team that can, with the right kind of path, right? Like we're gonna wait till Selection Sunday comes out. You're gonna see what that path winds up being. There could be some 3, 4, 5 seeds that you and I look at and might like their chances better than some 2 seeds.
I mean, we loved Illinois that 1 year until they ran into an 8-9 matchup that had Illinois right? Loyola Chicago.
That's part of the fun in all this too. And there's been years where you take a look at the 1 seeds and then you find a hot 8-9 that they might be running into. Speak of the devil, wasn't it Kentucky 1 year where they had to run into a red hot Wichita State team?
That's right.
Or am I having that reversed?
No.
Wichita State was a 1 seed once. I might have that reversed.
I think you have it reversed.
They might have ran into a hot Kentucky team in the second round, and it was a classic game. And I want to say Kentucky won that one.
I believe you're right.
On.
I believe the Kentucky game was when Wichita State was the 1 seed. I think the inverse was when they played Ohio State. I believe that was in the second. It was either the second round or Sweet 16. I can't remember.
Yes, that could be it. I think we got it there. Kentucky beat Wichita State 78-76. There it is. Kentucky the 8. That put them at 26-10. Wichita State, were they undefeated? Were they an unbeaten team?
They were at least late into the season with Ron Baker and that whole team.
But it was Ron Baker.
I don't remember if they were undefeated or not.
I don't know if this is showing me, like, you know how sometimes ESPN.com box scores, if they're a certain age, they might not be 100% accurate. But when it's showing you the final,
it's recent enough.
When it's showing you the final, you figure out what the record is showing is their record after that result, which it says Wichita State 35-1. There's something in me saying that that might have been a year where
they went to the tournament
unbeaten.
But honestly, I mean, if you think about it, that's really the only way a team like Wichita State could have gotten a one seed. So I'm not too surprised.
Yeah, but you said it. It's kind of all about what the paths are. But you're right that going back to the subject, that Alabama-Kentucky game, that was one of the great games of last weekend. And I'm sitting at Bud Dairy. We were texting about that, trying to get out and enjoy ourselves as we've been all a little tired and exhausted through the Ohio State football championship run and just sort of getting back into things. And that was before the national championship game, but that was still, you were still in town because you headed out late. You left Sunday.
Yeah, we left Sunday, so that game was on Saturday. Yeah, no, it was a very fun game. It's about as advertised as anytime Kentucky plays a top team at home. They played a really good game against Florida a couple weeks ago that I think was like in the hundreds for both teams. So, yeah, the SEC is very fun. It's very funny
Mark
to see.
Mark Sears, man.
It's very funny to see Arkansas
so
was
good.
Winless in the SEC until they beat, it was Georgia the other night. Mm-hmm. So it's a great conference. But I think in the same way, the Big Ten has been the same in that it seems like anyone can win on any night. And I found that out the hard way because we recorded last week's show on Thursday. I made my comments about Dusty May, and they proceeded to lose at the Barn at Minnesota later that night. That was...
It's okay.
I was due a moment like that.
That's how it goes, where you say something about a team the day you're dropping a podcast, and then the opposite thing happens. There's something to say about that, and we'll talk about them later on in the pod, too. And Rhyme Time will join us for a segment. He'll hit us with his Carolina minute. I can... talk some shit with him about Kansas and the North Carolina Tar Heels because that's fun. You know, you got a nice little road win beating
it really
an upset-minded TCU team.
But I'm very curious what the North Carolina base feels about Hubert Davis and how he's putting together these very solid teams, but just the results are so underwhelming until it seems like late in the season.
Yeah, then they wind up getting hot, right?
Yes.
Will they do that again? The time is now to start doing that. You're losing to Wake Forest. And again, I can understand losing on the road to Wake Forest, but you don't want to lose that Stanford game. Like, there's some that you just don't want to take. Some blemishes you don't want
to
have.
I was actually surprised to look up. Stanford's actually been pretty solid this year, most of the year for their standards. So I wouldn't call it a horrible loss.
You
but
had
it's,
to put in their
tough.
Standards, though. And not really anybody knows a whole lot about Stanford basketball this year.
Because
and
it's just, their first year in the ACC.
You lose street cred when you're North Carolina and you're losing to Stanford. And you're looking up at the Cardinal in the standings. Now, like, you take a look and you're behind Stanford, SMU, Wake, Louisville, Clemson, and Duke. And how about the job by Kelsey at Louisville?
Yeah, Louisville's been very hot.
Yeah, as we speak now, 8-1 in the ACC. Like, they're right there. Duke's the undefeated team, but they are right there. So they've got a chance, and they've got a really,
really
long win streak
going. And I believe they lost one of their transfers. I think it was prior they lost for the season. Back a month or so ago, they lost one of their top transfers.
They did lose a good player.
Definitely overcome some adversity since the middle of December. And yeah, I mean, the ACC, of course, is not very great this year, but it's still impressive.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. You got to overcome adversity. Everybody's going to get hit with an injury. Everybody is going to get hit with something, have to deal with something. I mentioned Mark Sears for Alabama. I love watching that guy play. He is just such a smart player. And even he is a guy that is never afraid of the next shot. Like that's one thing that's really important for a shooter like him, right? For a guy that lacks the kind of size that you desire, he's big enough to be this great college basketball guard at 6'1" and about 190, 200 pounds, but he's a strong guard. Like, even though he's not the heaviest guy out there, he is a strong player and can get to his spots, and he's got a very quick release and can set his feet. And I don't think he had his best shooting day in that game against Kentucky, but He winds up, as I'm looking at, he winds up going 4-for-12 from downtown and 6-for-17 overall. So that's a far cry from one of his better shooting days. But the fact that he still gives you 24 points, goes to the line, makes everything when he goes to the line, and has 9 dimes. Like, that's the thing he gives you.
He's a really great player for the system that Nate Oates wants to play down there at Alabama. It's up-tempo. It's get up as many shots as possible, preferably three-point attempts, but really get your opportunities either from the three-point line or at the rim, which is the two spots that he excels at. And sometimes it's both. Sometimes it's one or the other on a certain night. But, yeah, he's going to get his points in one way or another. You just have to figure out which way he's hot that night.
All right, we are off and rolling. That's a little bit of what's buzzing for us in college basketball here in this past week. Coming up, why is a famous head coach calling his top guy a bonehead? You're locked in to Mad About Hoops.
All college basketball, all the time. You're listening to Mad About Hoops. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
All right, so we go to some Big 12 basketball for a moment here. I'm Timmy Hall, Evil Bald Colin.
I wonder what team you're going to point out here.
Might be the Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah, it could be.
That's the hoodie that I'm wearing as we record here. This is Mad About Hoops. We appreciate you guys checking us out. Available anywhere you get your audio. The only place to get the full unfiltered edition of the podcast. And we say hello to everybody that is listening on The Fan on Saturday morning. So I actually missed this game, and I don't miss a lot of Kansas basketball games. So I watched the highlight package, but I had this one circled because I have every game circled, know when the schedule is, when they're playing. And TCU is never a gimme game, right? TCU has been up and down, but I would
Jimmy
say
Dixon has a pretty good program.
Yeah, I would say they've mostly steadily been up, wouldn't you? Like these last several years under Jamie Dixon.
Yeah.
Hasn't made the tournament every year,
not
but typically
every year,
a tournament
but
team.
A pretty consistent program.
Yeah, consistent program. They've had some guys, they've had some runs in March here. And, you know, Dixon's such a fun coach to look at too because of where he had Pitt basketball. Don't you think kind of the same things?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Don't you think kind of the same things about Pitt basketball as you would have with Cincinnati basketball, where Mick Cronin had them in the dance every year? Jamie Dixon had Pitt in the big dance every year, and they were even starting to make Sweet 16 runs. I think they had an Elite Eight, maybe a Final Four as well, but a lot of success.
Yeah, I can see that.
But then they somehow, like, they just got tired of that. It felt like the fan bases just wanted more. Or then when you start going to the tournament and then you don't make those deep runs anymore, you have a little bit of that success, and then the fan base can get a little bit, you know, give us more. It's what Ohio State basketball, I think,
Pitt is a very interesting example because you're right. They got, I don't know if, like, tired of the level that the ceiling that they were reaching.
It's a ceiling thing, right?
Go
it's
their
like,
separate,
what's our ceiling?
Go
just
their
making
separate
the tournament?
Ways, and then they really haven't made it back to that. I mean, Cable's,
look at Cable's
though. Had some great teams
Pitt
there.
And Cincy, same type of thing. Because, I mean, I don't know if Roy Williams going to a Cincy game is going to spark Wes Miller, right?
That
maybe,
is funny.
If that's the next guy for Hubert, maybe Roy was doing some reconnaissance work, right? But no, I don't think you could actually swing that with the lack of success Wes Miller's had at Cincy.
Roy
to go get the UNC job.
Roy needs to teach him some offensive drills because that team has had some tough scoring nights.
Wes, don't you know how to shoot, man? Like, we got to get these. Gonna get
40
these guys.
Points against Kansas. Like, that was ugly.
I think they had, since he had 48 against Baylor before that, but not to get off track, but I just thought those are a couple of interesting spots to look at talking about Jamie Dixon at TCU. But in the game this week, which I'm staring at a replay of it in the Horned Frogs court, is an abomination. Can we just agree to also
it's
get that stuff
last,
out of the sport?
Yeah, it's one of the last
Come
of
on.
That kind, I
Didn't
think.
Oregon switch it up?
They did.
They don't have the trees anymore?
No, they changed it over for the Big Ten.
Good. Yeah, the Horned Frogs with this little shell-looking thing on the court is hard to watch. It's you'll laugh at me, but it's one of the reasons why I didn't watch the game, because I stare at that court, and it just doesn't go well with my brain. But late in the second half, little situation happens where Hunter Dickinson gets an offensive rebound and he just sort of was cradling the ball up against his chest like anybody would, right? And the whistles, Trezarian White comes in to get the tie-up, and it was a pretty quick whistle. Like, I'll let you hear it here. This is this is what it sounded like with the coverage on ESPN.
Dickinson, another offensive rebound. This time it'll go possession arrow as they continue to wrestle.
There we go. Don't come in there. Let them just break it up themselves.
You're for Shilla there with the idea. No, don't let them break it up themselves because they were never gonna do that.
No.
This went on for 40 or 50 more seconds, and they were up like against the brick wall. Like they went through like the courtside seating area and then up against the wall where there was nowhere else to go, where the stands were. So fans were loving it there. And eventually TCU flinched. It was a game of chicken, basically. Hunter Dickinson won a game of basketball chicken right there.
But this is who he is. This is who he's been for, I don't know.
He's 7 foot two.
What is
he, the biggest
guy? Year five of college basketball? It feels like it's been eight. No, this is what he's done. Wasn't it in the Champions Classic this year? He
got ejected for kicking a guy.
Yeah, he flailed and kicked a guy.
He got ejected for a kick.
It's who he is, man. He's always had this attitude. He's done the Barstool Sports podcast in the past where he's shown his attitude.
He does. He does have a little bit of that, but I also wouldn't put him as like a Grayson Allen guy. He did have that one kicking thing, but I thought that was a little unusual to see that from him. I know what you mean, though, because he does have a little bit of that hateability to him.
Yeah, he's got that bad boy energy to him.
And now he plays for Kansas, so that ramps up with the hateability factor. But I honestly at the time, like, so it was a 48-47 game. It was right before you checked in and started watching this. Now, what was funny is right after that, White actually caught an alley-oop pass from Noah Reynolds with 12:44 left to go. They went up 48-47. So TCU had the quick lead. You'd think that the momentum went with them because their home court was really fired up over that play. But I think Dickinson was also maybe just trying to get his guys fired up at the same time. And that was the last lead TCU had in the basketball game. And that's a good place to come away with a, 74-61 win.
Absolutely.
On the road in the Big 12. Like, you win by 13 on the road in the Big 12.
You'll take it.
You are absolutely doing it. So I was kind of shocked to hear the old legend himself, Bill Self, go this way on Hunter Dickinson. He really went in and threw him under the bus.
I thought it was asinine that our guy would hang on to the ball like that. I guess it's maybe in some world provides more street cred. Which in the world that somebody would actually think that, I don't think they're very knowledgeable about ball. But that was a bonehead play.
We don't listen to a lot of Bill Self audio on this podcast.
It takes me back.
Like the working in Kansas City sports radio, the amount of editing you would have to do to be nice. And I purposely didn't do it because that's,
Thad Mudda-like.
Yeah, he's like a triple guy when he gets to his point.
Yeah, that's funny.
But the fact that he went hard on him, like
it was a
goofy kind of play. It was a dumb play, it was a tie-up.
It didn't need a serious stance like that. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah, these guys were both locked up. Neither one wanted to give up. And I feel like once it went like 10 seconds, you're doing that. Nope, you're not getting the ball away from me. You better let go, and then I'll hand this ball to the ref.
It's not like he was fighting and going to get like a double technical and ejection.
He wasn't going to throw a punch.
It was just silly.
Yeah, it was silly. That's all it was. And it makes you wonder if there's something else there with Self and Hunter Dickinson, or if that is, if I'm missing something there, and that's just the way that Bill has been coaching and tries to make sure that there's absolutely no nonsense.
I think it could be him understanding Hunter's personality, and he tries to, you know, kind of, I don't know if stop it or put his foot in a way and kind of correct him, but apparently he knows this is how Hunter has behaved in various different ways, maybe not exactly like this, but just his personality. He feels like it's a way to intervene and, you know, tell him, hey, focus up, man. We've had a pretty good season so far, but we're still nowhere near we need to be to make a run.
Yeah, so KU lost the possession on that. There were multiple tees, I guess. Jamie Dixon said it was an unimportant play, I guess. He said he didn't think that there was anything dirty or vicious about the play, which there wasn't. He's right, there wasn't. He said, I don't even know what the tees were for, but I guess the officials told them to stop. Of course they did, right? They didn't do what they were told to do by the officials. So, yeah, I get that part. They're all, I mean, the whistles, there was like 30 whistles that you didn't hear in the clip. And it's like, guys, let go of the ball. Let go of the ball. Like, let's play.
It's like when you're little kids and you're fighting with your sibling.
Of course.
And
mom and dad are just telling you the same thing over and over and over again.
Let Johnny play with the ball.
Yeah,
no.
You've already lost all your privileges coming up the rest of the weekend because you're not listening. Like, that's... I don't know if they
took
away.
You're just being petty. That's really all it is.
Hunter Dickinson got no pad time on the flight home for doing that, probably. That was the punishment. But speaking of other antics in college basketball this past week, where do you come down on our boy Dan Hurley? Where do you come down on him? Just the way he does stuff. I'm the best effing coach in the sport.
I mean, if you're a true hater of UConn basketball and specifically him, you're going to take this opportunity to just pile on and say, this is just another example of Hurley being who he is, and this is why we don't like him. Or you could be like myself, neutral, don't really care, and I respect the program he's built, and I find it funny or entertaining. Like, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't impact me, so I'm not really concerned with it. But, yeah, I'm sure it's just another example of why his relationship with referees across the country is not great, to be very, you know, blunt with it.
Yeah, I think the place where I am with that is obviously he has the credibility. It helps a lot that if you haven't won national championships and you're being like that,
it looks silly.
You're just a huge dickhead, pardon my French. Like, that's what you look like. Like, that's exactly what that is. But he's got national championships under his belt, and so he feels that this is a thing. I'm sure in his head, because he has been winning and he's had a certain type of moxie and brashness to him, he believes in his heart that this is part of what has led to the success, that his players can feed off of this, and that he demands a certain kind of respect. So
I didn't live...
Part of that I get.
I didn't really live during the Indiana Bob Knight era, shows my age, but I wonder...
But you have Instagram, like, you've seen all of his
gems. Yeah, I can see that, but I wonder, like, how this compares for people that have experienced both and how they see them. Obviously, they behave...
That's a good question.
In different ways, I think Hurley...
I can speak to that for some, because I feel like at my age, I got a good taste of Bobby Knight.
Like, Bobby Knight was strong.
And I've watched a lot of clips of Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight was strong in the way he acted. I think Hurley kind of, you know, puts it on as more of an act in some ways, or maybe kind of goes to a
He's
different
so
angle.
Animated, right?
Yeah. I think he does it more of like a show than how Bobby would have done it.
Yeah, I think how they're viewed, it's a little bit similar for both because they're both winners. That's the thing that you're looking for first. It starts with winning basketball games. Not to say that that's the same for everybody. Some people want, you know, team building aspects and just what kind of a coach you are. And if you are a great coach that maybe doesn't achieve the highest level of winning, there still can be respect right there. And I think that's the other big part of it, is what is that respect level? Because some people can acknowledge the win. Like, you can't not acknowledge championships and Bobby Knight winning three titles and Dan now winning two back-to-back. But some people just don't gravitate towards that kind of behavior and that kind of attitude. And for both guys, they're making the choice to be like that. So they can't really have too much to say if there's a large chunk of people out there that don't like how they're doing things. And I wouldn't think they care.
Correct. And
I wouldn't think they care because of the way that they are. They would say, well, bleep them. Blank them.
He
well,
doesn't
care.
He'll be himself. He'll be a character because at the end of the day, he can do his Kurt Cignetti. Google me. I win.
Exactly. I win. Like, that's what he's about. And, yeah, like, that's going to always rub some people the wrong way. And then those guys don't care. Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best coach in the effing game.
What's funny is that his brother Bobby is – like a slightly different version of him without all of the winning at Arizona State.
All right. I want to get your idea on what we can do in this area to make college basketball better. That's coming up. It's Mad About Hoops.
One of these men is evil and bald. The other one is Timmy Hall, swinging his meat bat. You're listening to Mad About Hoops on The Fan.
It is Mad About Hoops. All of your college basketball goodness right here. Go to the replay booth.
Yeah, you can't see
Colin's
me, but
I'm doing the signal.
I'm doing the little swirly,
go to the scores table.
Swirly finger go review signal.
We really start to love that little
action. It's really
action,
bad when all of the mime. Teams, all of the personnel on the benches know that they can do this and that you're gonna get the granted your wish if it's under 2 minutes.
Yeah, so we're talking about replay review, and I will point specifically to a great win, which we're gonna talk about here soon. Ohio State goes to Purdue and wins that basketball game. But this has been evident in a number of other games. I can't remember who was on the broadcast team.
Oh, just wait
Peacock.
For John Rothstein. He complains about it every night.
He does, and he's right. He's absolutely right to complain about it. But we were talking about there was a Northwestern game that the guys that were doing the Purdue-Ohio State game, they were saying the exact same thing. But the time that they're spending at the scores table to just review tipped balls, it's crazy right now. It was like 5 minutes looking at a Braden Smith, John Mobley tip out of bounds, and they didn't wind up changing it, and it actually looked like it went off of Mobley, but they didn't wind up changing it because they had no better replay reviews or angles, and they're making the refs look at this at the scores table with glare from the lights and with fans screaming on top of them. How are they supposed to focus and look at that on a tiny screen? Tell me, Colin, what can we do to make this better? Fix it.
Well, and my commentator groups are kind of blending together here. I believe Hummel was on the game for the Purdue-Ohio State game. Was that right? I think it was
Yes,
Hummel.
He was.
Yeah,
Robbie
and he,
was doing
and he
it.
Was
Thank
the one,
you.
He was the one who suggested the challenge system, which I'm fully in favor of. I'm okay with the referees calling the court outside of a couple challenges, make it like the NFL style. I really am. I think that's a way that could shrink the amount of reviews. And at the end of the day, if you're getting a lot of complaints that there's some missed calls that you're not able to get because of the challenges, Choose your challenges wisely.
But the thing that you have to have, in addition, I'm open to that too. The other thing that I want is we need to have a conference replay center. It can't be done at the scores table with the same refs that didn't get the call right in the first place. It's not to say that those refs in a quiet, controlled room, they might have a night where their assignment is the replay center, you know? Like, you'll have a real referee who's trained and knows every rule of the game. An official referee would be there, but he's got big screens and a quiet room. He's got the wheel so he can turn left, turn right for reverse forward. He can make that call in 20 seconds. He can make it fast and then buzz in and say, this is the call. That is Purdue basketball out of bounds.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's funny in terms of the difference in sports between football and basketball at the college level, that obviously they give the monitor to the referee in football that he can look at it and talk with the replay official upstairs, but he's not making the final decision on that. It's usually the guy that's upstairs or in a different sport, it's a replay center like you mentioned. So I would probably go along the lines of that. I agree. You should have a different opinion looking at it because otherwise you're having the guys that just made the call see if they made a mistake or not. I think just logically it makes more sense to have an extra opinion.
Not just an extra opinion, CB, but also it just ruins the end of the games from a timing standpoint. Don't you agree? Like if I'm...
Well, yeah. It takes like a half an hour to play the final 2 minutes.
And this could affect Ohio State to a detriment, and it was to Purdue's detriment because they're the ones that are rocking that home crowd. That's aiding them. I heard Ron Stokes say on our local broadcast, on the OSU broadcast, that he thinks that you might have to play 10 points better than Purdue to be able to win at Mackey Arena. He might not be that far off. Like, it is that tough of an environment to go into. And when you are breaking for 5 minutes at a critical point of the game, your crowd just gets taken out of it. Eventually, maybe they get a little antsy and they start to like get upset. But I don't know. There's good energy and there's bad energy. And sometimes that bad energy
it can definitely
maybe
kill
goes
momentum.
Against you.
It can kill momentum.
Kills the momentum.
Absolutely. If you believe in momentum, I do. And
I do too. How do you
in
not?
The final, well,
it's a game people, of momentum,
there's
right?
There's people out there that do. But the point of it is that, yes, you kill the momentum. It's hard for you to continue your run. It gives that team, honestly, the team that's on the opposite side of the momentum, an opportunity to have a free timeout. That's the biggest part of it, is we see so many of these opportunities created for these teams to draw up plays or draw up situations to prepare their team. So it actually helps the disadvantaged team on the scoreboard more than it does the team that's winning.
We're talking about that Buckeye win at Mackey Arena this week, and it's just so – I don't want to play the game anymore, because why do the what if? Like, can you imagine if they would have just taken care of Indiana? Could you imagine if they got one of those three wins against the ranked opponents that they played
but
recently?
It's just so on brand for what this program's been the past couple of years, where they do have those struggles, but they pull out these wins that don't make sense compared to the other games they just played.
This is how he started, right? He started with this win against Purdue last year. What were they, ranked number two in the country? That was a home game.
They were out there, yeah.
This one is much... I honestly think this one's better, because you are staring 10-9 right in the face, and they actually have a decent little schedule coming up.
Sure.
They've got to win basketball games, though. Like, that's what it's about. Like, they have some high-quality wins now, and I think they've bought themselves maybe a game or two of just win total. Like, they could... I said this before, they could Syracuse their way into putting a resume together. You know, they've sometimes gotten in on 17-win seasons.
Yes.
I don't want to do it that way. You'd want to shoot for, 18, 19 wins total at least before you go to the Big Ten tournament. There's another game out there, though, and there should be less pressure because of getting a road win like this under your belt. If they can stack it with a road win at Illinois, my goodness, they're looking really good.
Absolutely.
And I know, going into that game, I'm probably going to predict Illinois wins that game and wins at home, as you would, but that clearly doesn't mean that they're going to win.
There's so many challenges still left on the schedule. You've got the West Coast trip. You've got to go to Indiana at the end of the season. You got to play Michigan. I forget if that's home or away. Yeah, there's still a ton of traps. Well, there's no real traps in the Big Ten. They're really just all really good opponents you're facing. But there's plenty of opportunities where this could still go sideways for them, so they have to keep their focus. They can't just let one game be their season in Big Ten play. Like, they've got to keep it rolling.
They're 3-5, 11-8 as we record this. So, obviously, that doesn't sound great. Like, that's not where you ever want to be.
No.
This deep into the season, almost 20 games into the season, three games away from being 500. But also, it's not like we've seen a record like that in your tournament chances are completely slammed shut. I know a lot of people think they know about this. I think they're proving to us every time they go out and play, they're pretty unpredictable.
It's hard. That is a fair assessment.
I wouldn't give gambling advice on this team at all. A couple years ago, I feel like I knew, I feel like I had a pretty good read on them. I wouldn't tell you which way to swing. Like, when it comes to these guys right now, and they got Iowa at home and then Penn State and Illinois on the road.
I was about to say, whatever the over-under on points for Ohio State is in that game against Iowa, though, I would take the over. Because consistently, mm-hmm. when they play Iowa at home, it is name your score.
If they win all those games next week and
I believe it
with the Illinois road win, boy, they're going to have some fans rushing back.
What is it? It's
running
Iowa,
back
Iowa,
it.
Penn State, and Illinois?
It's Iowa, Penn State Road, Illinois Road.
And then I believe they have a road game at Nebraska coming up, too.
They do.
So USC just won on the road at Nebraska, and that was a surprise, because at Pinnacle Bank Arena, the Cornhuskers the past couple of years have been pretty unbeatable. Mm-hmm. So, again, even if you see these teams that are lower in the Big Ten standings, there's always things about those teams that make it harder to play them in certain scenarios.
Absolutely.
And Nebraska on
Ohio
the road
State
is
was
always
just,
a clear case.
Ohio State was just one of them that went to Purdue and won.
Yes.
That was right near the bottom of the Big Ten standings. And that's what you always have to look out for as one of the top dogs. So you almost get to play that card of maybe being a little bit unsuspected.
We highlighted Minnesota beating Michigan. We just saw Northwestern beat. Again, it's a struggling Indiana program outside of beating Ohio State, but they beat Indiana, who was, I believe, 5-3 at the time in Big Ten play.
Shout out this guy. I had this one just for you. How about some love for Brooks Barnheiser, huh?
Back loose! Barnheiser! The exclamation mark! Oh, he fell hard.
Oh!
Boy,
his
he says he's okay, but his face, and he's bleeding, yeah. His face made direct contact with the floor.
That is just great. Oh, he says
jumped
he's okay.
Too early. He barely got his fingers on the rim, and that's why he slipped off. But
sweaty,
you know,
hands.
It happens.
His momentum on that dunk was carrying him through, and his hand just came off the rim, and that was, you knew, it was one of those.
I'm old enough to recall when Evan Turner broke his back in one of those scenarios where he just kind of slipped off the edge of the rim, and you know, that's what happens sometimes.
Really unfortunate. All right, CB, good stuff. We'll talk to Rhyme Time coming up here. He'll get us a Tar Heel Minute, some takes on this Buckeye squad as well. What we're looking forward to this weekend. You got a lot of work to do. Get out of here. There he goes. Evil Bald Colin. More coming up. It's Mad About Hoops.
All the college basketball talk you can handle. You're listening to Mad About Hoops. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Timmy Hall here with you. Evil Bald Colin has left the podcast studio. Rhyme Time, Jacob Reimer, our executive producer. Oh, if you were a fly in the wall. What is this, a Ohio State dorm room? No, if you were a fly on the wall in our studio, you would have loved it because we actually just did this the first 2 minutes of this segment and I didn't hit the record button. So sort of Twilight Zone doing it right now, but it's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, good seeing you too, Timmy. It's always great with college basketball right now.
We talked a little bit about you earlier on and I just feel so good to get a nice conference road win. It's nice to do, you know?
Yeah.
A double-digit point win on the
road. They're not easy to come by.
TCU team primed and ready for the Jayhawks.
Yeah.
You say no. Couldn't be the same way for your Tar Heel guys, but you got to expect it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, TCU's fresh off that big win against Baylor on the road. So maybe a little let down spot from them. But, Kansas Jayhawks, you should be ready for that.
Can't be let down when the Jayhawks come to your home court.
Yeah,
you're pumped.
Win, you got to have the place bumping, you know?
Yeah, we talked about the Dickinson holding the ball play and get the spark. That's looked like just, it sparked TCU, but then that was their last lead of the ball game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, got Kansas going, honestly, yeah.
What happened to North Carolina? What's going on with them? And I know that it was a one-point loss to Wake Forest, but it was a garbage three at the end. Spread three.
Got the cover. Yeah.
But they were down 67-60, I want to say, and Wake. It was a close game. It was back and forth. I watched the highlight of that one. It seemed like a pretty entertaining game.
It's just so weird. Like, in that last, 10 minutes, it became more of, a game of runs. And, Carolina went on a run and took the lead, I think. And then, basically within the last 4 minutes, you could see which coach made the adjustment. And Steve Forbes went with a zone, and Hubert Davis didn't have a response for it. And they go scoreless for basically 4 minutes and start hitting some garbage threes to try to get back in it. And couldn't really muster anything up there in the last 4 minutes, which that's been a constant theme. And it stinks because you want to win these close games. It's another one possession loss and you kind of need it, especially when you lose to Stanford on the past Saturday in a game that you have to win.
And CB says Stanford's not bad, but I said that's still it's a street cred kind of thing.
North Carolina
has to beat Stanford.
Yeah. Making the West Coast trip, you cannot lose that, especially given how bad the conference is. You can't really afford bad losses like that. You're favored by, I think
that was a home loss, right?
Devastating. That's 20?
Was it a 20 point?
I think it was 12. I think it was 12.
That's a big point spread.
But
you got to win those.
That's, I'm pretty sure, a quad three loss. And you really can't have those adding up here, especially when you already don't have a great resume to begin with.
Now, so you got another game that you have to win the weekend, home against Boston College. There's zero excuse.
That's right before
you'll
a gauntlet.
You'll be dead if you lose.
Oh, yeah.
They'll come for Hubert Davis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
They are.
He's at a point now, if you lose a crazy, you're one crazy loss away from people completely turning on
100%.
Him.
I mean, a lot of people already are turning on him.
Sure.
But,
right,
which,
as you would.
I get it. It's the standard of North Carolina basketball. You're not supposed to.
It's Ryan Day in Ohio State.
Right.
It's not for everybody.
You're not supposed to
be that coach. It's
you're
not for
supposed to just make the tournament. It's North Carolina. It's Chapel Hill. It's a blue blood. You're supposed to be fighting to making Sweet 16s and Elite 8s.
Final fours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Making the second weekends, making those deep runs, not just fighting to make the tournament.
So I didn't tell this yet, but to get some of your takes on what the Buckeyes did at Purdue, this was actually, we joked about this one, the Buckeyes, had a shot to get this done in a superstitious kind of way. because whatever has been up with my dad, who's a Purdue alum, and being in the building, I guess it's whether he's in the building and it's got some association with me. Mm. If I'm not associated with it, it seems fine because they went to Maui on my aunt's tickets. My aunt has connections with KU, and her son and daughter-in-law could not make the trip because my cousin was having his first baby.
Okay.
And that's great. They live out in Kansas City. So she had some tickets that opened up for the Maui trip.
Oh, man.
And Purdue and KU were at that tournament. And Purdue won.
Yeah.
So he saw a Maui championship, like a trip of a lifetime,
last,
right?
Last year's Maui was epic.
But the two times now here that I've been associated with, I went to the Fairleigh Dickinson game with him.
I was in the building as well.
You're in the building. Yep. You lose to the 16th seed. What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And then I got him these tickets for his birthday. I did it. Like, I went through my mom, made sure they would go, drive out there, got a little arena tour for them, talked to someone at the Alumni Association there, yeah, before the game. And he called me. He couldn't talk, but he called me, and just the audio was blaring. When Braden Smith had that pocket pass, corner pass, excuse me, to Harris for the three that gave them that, like, six-point lead again.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, it's loud now. And he's just holding the phone up. And then the 15-0 run for the Buckeyes. Yeah. Ohio State wins.
Gotta love
him
that.
Being there was our one shot that we had to win, and it happened. I feel bad. But I guess the Buckeyes, they certainly needed it more than Purdue did.
Yeah, I feel that in a way where, like, I really can't dish it out a bunch because of a superstitious thing with me, as we've been going back and forth a little bit with Carolina and Kansas. When Kansas dropped one, I gave it to you, and then
I'm a way bigger offender there than you.
Well,
you
then
got a
almost,
lot of catching up
almost
to do.
Immediately after I dish it out, Carolina
you
will
lose
just
to
drop
Stanford.
One. Yeah, lose to Stanford, or when I came in blaring Country Roads, they dropped the one to Louisville at the start of the new year.
They did. Yeah. Yep. And Kansas, again, there you'll probably have a chance to talk some stuff with the Houston game coming up. But
yeah,
you actually have a little trip. You're going to be seeing a guy we talked about on the pod already, the best effing coach in the sport.
Yep,
you can see Dan Hurley.
Making the trip down 71, going to CentOS for Xavier and UConn. Getting to see. I'm hoping that I can see a new Dan Hurley meme in person. Because I just want to see him just lose it.
How much are you going to be fixed on him? I feel like he is one of those coaches where you might actually spend some time fixed on Dan.
Yeah.
Where your eyes might have to come off of the action for a little bit. I mean, you could obviously watch both, but it's like a quick, like, watch the game, watch him, watch him, watch him.
It'll be
if
back and forth.
If something hot happens, then your eyes go right back to him.
Yeah.
Right? To, like, see what he...
Questionable call.
You know, he's doing the facial expression.
Throws his hands up in the air, pounding it on the scores table.
Yeah, throwing the hands up, like, no.
Just seeing him chase after a ref during a media timeout or something. Yeah, when it goes to a timeout and it's after a questionable call, my attention is going to be immediately right on UConn's bench and just seeing Hurley, what his reaction is going to be, if he's losing it or what.
His facial expressions are so big, you can see him from hundreds of feet away.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can easy guy to spot. You give Xavier any chance in that one? Night game, raucous environment?
I think I do, just because, they're now off a loss against St. John's, where they had it won. They were controlling the whole game and then kind of just got some bully ball a little bit from St. John's and gave it up. And
Johnnies are actually really good.
Yeah, they are tough.
Really
they're a fun watch, too.
17-3. They might be one of the underrated teams in the sport.
I think,
right now,
very much a sleeper for a Final Four, in my opinion. I think they definitely have the potential to do that. But, CentOS is going to be loud. Xavier coming off a loss. They match up pretty well, I think. I think it's always tough to win on the road, especially in one of the most hostile environments in college basketball. I think I give Xavier a pretty good shot in this one.
Jacob, good catching up with you. Let's enjoy the hoops this weekend.
Oh, yes, it's going to be a blast.
Everybody, thank you for listening to Mad About Hoops. If you love college basketball, this obviously is the pod for you. If it's your first time checking it out, if you're catching it on the replay Saturday morning on the Fan, just know the full unfiltered pod is only on the podcast wherever you get your audio. So search it, download, subscribe. There might be bad words or just things that we had to edit for time.
Yeah.
So check it out that way. And we appreciate you listening. Have a great weekend watching some basketball.